I guess be careful what you wish for, because that's what we've had, a correction. I think it's healthy to have that correction. I think we were going to have one anyway in a longer term bull market. However, you don't know what's going to cause that, except, things don't go up forever. And I think this sets a good base. I think we'll base somewhere in here. I'm not saying we're there yet, or we may be. What excludes about 90% of the companies in the space from being investable? You're just playing I like to say, in a strong wind, even the turkeys can fly. We've had a strong wind. A lot of these companies, have gone up, and you can double and triple your money in companies that I can almost guarantee are never going to work. But, I've been around long enough, and at this point, I work with good people, good share structures. And I'm looking for, to bat 300 in baseball terms. If I can get 1 in 3 that becomes something very special, I'm killing it. Like I said, you don't ask them to explain
I'm
a
the
copper
same.
porphyry deposit. But the fact of the matter is, it finds things that, even for some of my companies, it's found stuff they didn't know they had, that was available in databases in Australia. So again,
That's
we're
great.
finding old, PDF scan drill logs and XY, I'm not naming the countries right now, in XYZ country that nobody would know to go look for, but it finds it. And all of a sudden, you're looking at a hole that, was 44 meters drilled in 1960 with 1% copper, 1 gram a ton of gold over, 40 meters, and it's never been followed up on in a setting that's got, again, stuff that you're not going to find. And even my geologists say, said, this, I'd have to walk around departments. And so, yeah, it can speed things up massively.
Jeff Phillips, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing today, Andy?
Doing fantastic. What an interesting time in the gold market, and that's why I wanted to get you on here in the miner market. We had really this I would say call it more than a correction, almost an implosion in the last couple of weeks. Things got really bloody, and I really like it when things get bloody. I have been sitting on some cash, a lot of cash I'm looking to deploy, but wanted to think get your thoughts on all of that. We had a massive run-up, then a massive correction. Where are we at with the gold market and the miners?
I think there's two questions that are kind of the gold market, or really the commodities market, gold and silver, copper, all the different commodities. And then you have your junior or your producers down to your junior resource speculation. So as far as the commodities markets go, my feeling, I was saying this going into VREC and VREC, the Vancouver Resource Investment Conference at the end of January, I said, we've had a big move here in gold and silver, I don't really like to see it go straight up. I want to see a correction. I guess be careful what you wish for, because that's what we've had, a correction. I think it's healthy to have that correction. I think we were going to have one anyway in a longer term bull market. However, you don't know what's going to cause that, except, things don't go up forever. And I think this sets a good base. I think we'll base somewhere in here. I'm not saying we're there yet, or we may be. But the simple fact is that, you've got the obviously the Iran war, you've got all kinds of geopolitical things going all the time. And that probably led to some of the correction in gold. I've seen different people speculate, nobody really knows. But when you need liquidity, in overall markets, AI has been getting hit, tech, everything. Gold's a very liquid asset. So again, there's people that have good profits on the table that panic. It's human nature. You also have there's reports that, some countries obviously having oil or gas shortages, I've read reports that some of the Middle East countries may have sold some gold to raise cash in the current situation. I don't know if that's true or not. It kind of makes sense. The other side too is we've seen lots of central bank buying over the last number of years. Central banks are run by people just like you and me, Andy. That question their what they're doing and have fear. And so it's possible that central banks have, in the short term have curtailed some buying. I don't know that, but again, I think this is a healthy correction in a bull market. I think the structural reasons commodities are going up, or we continue to print more money around the world, including here in the United States. So when I look at gold, I don't I have a lot of physical gold, and I don't really care what gold's doing in the short term, as far as my actual gold goes. But now the junior resource market and the resource stocks are a whole different, ball game, right? So that's the answer on gold and silver. And I got interviewed yesterday, and I was asked, by a young person who hadn't been in the markets as long. I'm not that young, but they asked me, what happens if silver bases and trades, in the low 60s for a long time? Is this
That'd be
over?
great.
And I looked at him, I said, I've been in this business for 30 years and I've done pretty well. And I don't think I've ever seen $60 silver. So I know I
Right.
haven't, so again, I think, again, you could ask more questions, but when you get into the equities and the natural resource sector, I don't think any of these equities reflected those prices of the commodities. I think, again, a $3,100 gold price wasn't even reflected in as far as the moves in the juniors. So, but do you have a further question of that one? I'm talking too long.
Yeah, I guess is are you looking to add value to your portfolio here? I mean, is this with the miners specifically, is this I guess is this a good entry point? And I say this because I got scared really going in through the I mean, I enjoyed it because I have a lot of gold stocks, but I was getting very concerned going into the fourth quarter of last year, and then January was just everything went parabolic, especially the mining stocks, and I took a lot of money off the table. And I say that because number one, it was scary to me because we see a parabolic move, and in my experience, when you see a parabolic move up, there's the downside that's right around the corner to all too often. But then the second thing is like I really such believe in the sector and the value that the sector offers. It was hard for me to sell, right?
Yeah.
So that's really the two-part question really is are you because I see value now, but I'm certainly don't speak for you. I see a lot of so I'm beginning to acquire more. Is that something you're looking at value? That's number one question. Then the second question is when is a good time for you to sell? When do you consider selling, Jeff?
Well, everybody's different, Andy. We've had this talk before. I look for specific things when I invest in companies. I am on the very front end of the junior resource market, meaning I'm looking at the higher risk exploration development
Right.
plays, not the soon to be producers or one mine producers or multiple mine producers. So that questions can be different depending on where you're in the junior resource market. And again, I caution your listeners, the junior resource market is not for everybody at all. It's for a very small group of people. It's high risk. I have a I'm not an investment advisor, so anything I'm saying is just my own personal opinion. Somehow I've managed to do pretty well over the last 30 years since I came into the junior resource market, and I've retired a couple times and come back into it. It kind of sucks you back in. So as far as I go, I have large positions in these companies. I consult for a lot of these companies. And when I say I consult, it's kind of like being an activist investor. I don't like that term because it makes it sound like I'm some big Wall Street guy. So I call it parental supervision. You've heard me say that before because these are small companies. But I want to make sure if I'm investing capital into a high-risk junior resource play in a specific commodity or a basket of the commodities, I want to make sure management's getting most of that money into trying to develop that asset. Not into a lifestyle type thing, which is what excludes about 90% of the companies in the space from being investable. You're just playing I like to say, in a strong wind, even the turkeys can fly. We've had a strong wind. A lot of these companies, have gone up, and you can double and triple your money in companies that I can almost guarantee are never going to work. But I've been around long enough, and at this point, I work with good people, good share structures. And I'm looking for, to bat 300 in baseball terms. If I can get one in three that becomes something very special, I'm killing it. So, as far as selling goes, I tend to be a longer term shareholder. You'll notice some of the financings I lead, I actually put a year requirement on the stock. Typically, it's 4 months or no months in a life financing. I'll often put a year hold because I want to make sure all the other shareholders who are writing checks along with my big check have a like-minded time frame and are going to allow that company to develop their asset, not just try to collect the warrants, which is a whole other discussion for your show. But selling, I give you an example. On a win, when you hit that home run. I had a company 4 or 5 years ago. I've had several. I can give you a bunch of different examples in the last 5 years, but probably one of the bigger ones is Patriot Battery Metals. I financed that company at 16 cents and 40 cents, and I was a very large shareholder, one of their largest shareholders at the time. they went out and got lucky. I shouldn't say got lucky. My old adage that it's one of my 12 stocks. It would have been ranked near the bottom of my 12 good companies. So you can tell I don't, you never know what's going to happen. They made a tremendous discovery. It's a world-class lithium discovery up in Canada. The stock went to $18.
Wow.
I was selling stock, at $1.50, $2.50, $3.50, $5.50, $6.50, $9, $10, $12. And people ask, does it bother you that you sold 1 million shares at the on the at the low end under? No, I paid 16 cents. And I still own hundreds of thousands of shares in the company, which again I still believe is a tremendous lithium asset, a world-class discovery. In that time frame, lithium got hit 90% the price of lithium. So Patriot pulled all the way back to $2 or $3. It's been back to $7. But it's a really good company with a world-class team, and I believe for sure eventually it will be a mine. Volkswagen's taken a 19% stake. That's what I look to do, finance a company with less than a $30 million market cap and see it grow. There's several other companies like Bravo Mining, that went from 50 cents to $5 and raised hundreds of millions of dollars since we took it public. I've sold some Bravo. I still own a bunch. But my goal is to take a company that's, anywhere from a $5 million to 30, 40 on the outside, finance the company with a like-minded group of people, and help that company graduate to a $200 million to $500 million market cap company. And bigger players come in, like the Bravo I mentioned. They've raised money from Blackstone. They've raised money from Tembo, a big fund. Rick Rule, one of your guests, is a shareholder. And again, when it gets to that point, they just raised $120 million. I'm not that's out of my my league of baseball. So, but that's where I want to see my companies graduate. So, but I sell on the way up is, but usually when I can get them to the range that, so anyway.
Well, you really answered that really well. I got a lot of portfolio management out of you, which I think is crucial for long-term success. But then also, I think in getting to know you over the last year or so, you really, and this is some feedback, you really know your lane. And you stay in your lane. And I think that's actually the magic of Jeff Phillips to all my viewers and listeners is know who you are, know what you're good at. And then you just stay there, camp out there. And that's what Jeff is doing. Correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff.
No, I think that's true. I like to say I know a couple of things. Again, I've been in this business, Andy, and I know very little about geology. I know a lot about people, and I know a lot about share structure. So if people have been successful before and done well by their shareholders, that's number one thing I look for. And number two, it has to be there, is the share structure. I have to understand who the other investors are. Does management own a large piece reporting? I want to know that they've got a lot. People say skin in the game. I don't like that term, but well, I guess we'll use it. They have, they have 20%, 25%, in a company like Bravo that I've, is graduated in regulars. These companies have 50% reporting insider ownership. So those people aren't in this to sell the stock and, at a double. They're there to build something that's very valuable and sell it. So you're right. I stay in my lane because my lane is very narrow. I'm only good at a couple of things in that lane. So,
Well, you only
but
have to be good at a couple of things to make
yeah.
money, you
Yeah.
know.
No, it was a
So.
joke the other day. I Brent Cook is a pretty well-known geologist and used to be Rick Rule's lead geologist. Always jokes with me. I don't know anybody who knows less about geology over 30 years has done as well as you. And the funny part is and now I've told these guys, some of my consultants and stuff, that I've just started a prospect generator that's AI driven. So the only thing I know less about than geology, which isn't much, is actually technology. So now I've combined my two weakest spots, but I'm really enjoying being involved with some ex-Apple guys, and that the AI prospect generator is quite fun.
Well, I want to hear more about it, but yeah, I'm probably the guy that knows less about geology than you do. If we were to meet, I would probably be lower on the totem pole, but I do like you taking a page out of your book. I know share structure. I know it's attractive. I think I know people relatively well. I know when there's a good deal. I know when there's the price of gold. All that being said, I still make a lot of mistakes, but like you said, if you're batting 300 in this space, you're doing really, really well, or you should be doing
Absolutely.
really well with the strong portfolio management. So I'll throw you a curveball, Jeff. I wasn't aware of your prospect generator. Tell us a little bit about that if you don't mind.
Oh, that's going to be ridiculous if I try to do that. I'm fascinated. Obviously, I'm fascinated by what artificial intelligence AI can do. I've read tons of articles and talked to lots of people in the industry. There's lots of these AI companies that are doing different things, whether it's a different way to do geophysics, drilling, using hardware and AI, and really telling companies that we can come in and then help you know where to drill better. And most of my geologists aren't totally convinced that that is necessarily the path. But what I found interesting, I started working with a couple of guys. One's a very high level Apple person that was in their AI stuff, and it's a long story. But Rick and other people, Rick Rule, and like prospect generators. And what I realized, or they realized, and I was watching this for about a year before I got involved, is that there's certain countries, and almost every country has a lot of data in different departments and geological data. There's certain countries that require every company that's ever worked there to turn everything in, from their geochemistry, geophysics, the satellite data is public, old drill cores, all. So they came up with a system that went in using AI agents and was able to pull some of this. You have to email and get permission and pull all this data, and then using basically PhD geologists, which are the AI agents, to go in and look for things that have been overlooked. And I can't explain it all to you, but it's bloody fascinating. And so I
Sounds
wasn't
awesome.
involved. Yeah, I wasn't that involved. But then I had a couple of my companies that have a lot of old data and are doing drilling. And I said, in their data room, and I said, hey, for free, I had these guys, do some work for them. And they came back with like, unbelievable. Like, this just saved us
That's
months,
great.
And so the
Great.
service side of that is very interesting. There's lots of companies, but I think there's a real opportunity to do some prospect generating, because again, I can't explain it all to you. Like I said, you don't ask them to explain
I'm
a
the
copper gold
same.
grain deposit. But the fact of the matter is, it finds things that even for some of my companies, it's found stuff they didn't know they had that was available in databases in Australia. So again,
That's
we're
great.
finding old PDF scan drill logs and XY, I'm not naming the countries right now, an XYZ country that nobody would know to go look for, but it finds it. And all of a sudden, you're looking at a hole that was 44 meters drilled in 1960 with 1% copper, 1 gram a ton of gold over 40 meters, and it's never been followed up on in a setting that's got again, stuff that you're not going to find. And even my geologists say, said, this, I'd have to walk around departments. And so yeah, it can speed things up massively. So I'm kind of excited. Probably won't work, but I'm having a blast doing it and working with them. So,
Well, I love the idea and love the entrepreneurial spirit. So, Jeff, you're one of the guys that is behind the scenes, and I see you out on the road, but and I don't. You're one of those guys I can't point my audience to go reach out and connect. So I don't know how to give you the props that you're due, other than to all my people. When you see Jeff, there he is, and you see him out on the road as I have, tell him hello. That's all I can say to you, really.
yeah, and I hope to come to your conference. There's a number of companies I like right now that you mentioned it. I'm actually buying in the market because I think there's discovery. And that's the last thing too. I want you to understand the discovery potential. Again, if you make a true discovery, even the current metals prices or even a discount from here, it's going to be worth a lot of money.
Right.
So, again, I'm on that front end of the curve. I'm just as excited right now. I've got some companies drilling and I'm really excited by what they're doing. So we'll see what
Well, tell me
happens.
about him. Tell me a cut if you don't mind dropping a few names.
Yeah, as long as your listeners understand, I'm a large shareholder. I'm a consultant for these companies. It means I provide parental supervision, activist investor, whatever you want to call it. So I am biased, and they're high risk, and this is not for everybody. You should talk to your financial planner. You should talk to a registered broker that deals with natural resource stocks, or a newsletter writer that publishes regularly so that you follow the recommendations. But yeah, some of the companies I like right now, I've got a company called Dora Gold, which is currently drilling down in Argentina at the Cerro Bayo project. It's a joint venture from a company called Latin Metals. I've always liked that project. They are two companies that I'm involved with, both of them actually, as a large shareholder, and very excited. I think they're somewhere with 14th, 15th hole right now. But again, this is high risk. You're looking for discovery potential, but it's got some good shareholders in it. Couldn't be more excited. It's like Christmas. I can't wait to see the drill results, and they should be out soon. And someone like Dora, and that's not even their flagship project. It's Anatela in Peru, which is right next to Highlander Silver. That's how I got involved with the company. Highlander had probably a $300 or $400 million market cap drilling right next door. And when I say right next door, I mean 20, 30 meters off the
Wow.
property line. So, we're pretty sure the mineralization extends onto our property. Highlander has since then bought Bear Creek Mining, and it's gone to, I think, before this correction, it was over $1 billion market cap. So
Nice.
Dora, I think Dora's probably got a $24, $23 million market cap Canadian. So it's very high risk, and if you're going to put money into it, but what I'm excited about now, like always, is good geologists doing good work, and I really like this project in Argentina. They're drilling, so we'll see what happens. Something else that I think is interesting would be Gladiator Metals. They're up in the Yukon. Again, I can't. You should do your own due diligence and look at these things. And I don't know how it fits. You should be a resource portfolio investor. It's got to fit in your portfolio. Again, get financial advice. I'm not giving financial advice. I'm just telling you what I'm speculating on. I'm a large shareholder. I've bought a few more shares in some of these companies recently. But Gladiator Metals has the Whitehorse project up in the Yukon. They've done quite a bit of drilling there. It's an old producing asset of Hudbay back in the 80s, several different mines. There's lots of targets that were never drilled at different copper prices. The property wasn't consolidated. A couple of men named the Coin Brothers that own Coin Drilling, which is a worldwide drilling company, reconsolidated the district. They vended this whole district to Gladiator. They're one of the largest shareholders. They're also members of the First Nations, which is very important when you're working in Canada. But you've already you, they're going to have a resource out this year on their flagship project they've been drilling, but they've drilled several of these other targets, and they've hit last year at the end of the year 5 of 5 in a new target. Great copper, some gold mineralization in that. I think a company like Gladiator, I think they've been waiting to get their Class 3 permit. I think that'll happen soon. Once they have that, they're sitting on maybe, I can't remember exactly, Andy, I think it's 26, 25, $30 million Canadian. They're going to launch a 50 to 65,000 meter drill program on that Class 3 permit this year. I suspect, they're at a 100 and so million dollar market cap now. That can easily grow much now. It reminds me of Arizona Sonora, which I actually financed
Just
when I was
got
a
bought
private
out, right?
company. Just got bought out by Hudbay. They developed that asset wonderful, in a great manner. If you were patient, you did real well. Gladiator's not really on the front end of the curve like I'm mostly on at this point because it's got a $100 million market cap. But again, I see that company being able to graduate to some of my other companies like Bravo and Aldebaran raising big money at, the $300 to $500 million range if drilling's successful. So what else? Do you want another couple or are we
Yeah,
good?
if you can give us a couple more, Tom. Our viewers and listeners love them. Again, I will also say if I'm an investor in any of these, I'll give full disclosure. As of right now, I'm not an investor in the companies that Jeff has mentioned. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, a couple other companies. It would be a company called Greenlight Metals, which is drilling
Yep.
in Wisconsin right now. They're drilling
I
the
am an
Bend project.
investor in Greenlight Metals, just for the record. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, so Greenlight, and I'm an investor and consult for them, but they raised, I think it was $12 million late last year, at about 35 cents a share, no warrant, which I like you like to see. So these people are buying the shares because they think they're going higher. I
Yep.
think the stock trades around 35 cents right now, so it got up to maybe 50 cents during, and then corrections brought it back down. They're drilling. They're going to have lots of results coming out. I like Wisconsin. The mining laws have changed there. You obviously, if your listeners are listening to resource commentary, they know that the U.S. government and other governments around the world are getting much more concerned about security of supply. So this is a copper type asset, VMS. They've got other projects, but again, they're drilling the Bend project right now. They'll even after this drilling, they'll have cash in the bank. Don't have to raise money. So I like to see that in case this correction lasts longer than I think it's going to last, because none of us know. And you want to see companies, again, like Gladiator and Dora, they have quite a bit of money in the bank. Gladiator has a ton. So again, they have some wiggle room with their drill results in the overall markets. Another real high risk, interesting company is Allmenix Minerals. I've talked about that before in interviews. Allmenix is Morgan Poliquin. It is a long story, so I'll make it short. Morgan's made two or three multi-million ounce discoveries in the last 15 years period of time, which is pretty unheard of for a geologist. He's a PhD geologist, very technical. Isn't the guy who's going to run out and jump up and down and tell his story like most of the junior companies. But what's interesting about Allmenix is they sit on about $20 million in cash and gold liquid assets. They own six of their own drill rigs. Morgan's come up with a new theory, just like he did when he made those three. He made those three discoveries down in Mexico, he's pivoted up to the United States. And he has staked 14 new properties to go along with the 20 properties and 20 royalties that are already in the company. And there's some value in all of that. But his new thesis is these lithocaps have been overlooked in the United States. So again, he's drilling those now. He owns his own drill rigs and he has plenty of cash. High risk because you're betting on him making another discovery. But I know what he's trying to do. He's not selling stock. He's not giving his options. He's not flying first class. He wants to put holes in the ground. His whole thing is to make a discovery. That's what his life's been about. So I'm happy to be a shareholder and be patient. And he's got plenty of cash. So Almadex Minerals is another interesting company.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll wrap it there then. Jeff, you always, whenever you come on, you always name drop some great companies. And again, full disclosure, Jeff is investors and investing in all of this. This is not financial advice. And off camera, Jeff is always very clear to me that he's always going to give full disclosure. It's very important to them. And for that, Jeff, I applaud you, your ethics and that. Really, I would love to see you in Atlanta. I'm assuming you're coming.
I'm going to try to come, Andy, and your listeners, again, I think that your show looks like it's lining up to be a great show. I'm
It
juggling the
really is.
schedule, but I definitely will figure it out, and I will probably be there.
Okay, well, we'll talk at the end of this, but I'd love to have
Yeah.
you and the Atlanta crowd. I name dropped you, said it looks like Jeff is going to be coming, and everybody got excited. So I hope to see you, Jeff. I'll have you on whenever I can get you. I want to thank you so much for your time, and hopefully I'll see you in Atlanta in May. And if not, I'll see you at Rick's conference, the 26 Rules Symposium in July. I'll see you there.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
Bye-bye.